From WXXI News, this is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Our connection this hour was made in Rochester in 2013 when a comedian and entrepreneur named Yolanda Smiles wanted to find a way to highlight local talent that was overlooked, the kind of talent that could go national, but maybe has a hard time breaking through and getting the attention it deserves. She helped conceive the Rock Awards with a wide range of categories. Year one, 700 people attended the ceremony. The last several years, more than 1,000 people have attended, with hundreds of thousands of votes cast for the nominees. And Sunday, with the doors opening at 4 and the show at 5 p.m. at the Kodak Center for Performing Arts on Westridge Road, they've got big plans. And that's what we're talking about this hour with my guests. By the way, can we just listen to a little bit more of that music for a second? You should know that's Danielle Ponder and the Tomorrow People. They're one of the nominees. They're nominated. Let me go ahead and welcome our guests for the hour. Yolanda Smiles, the CEO and founder, is kind enough to be on the line with us. Yolanda, how are you?
Good. How are you guys?
Very good. Thank you. Thanks for doing this for us. In studio with us is Tracy Isaac, executive producer for the event. Tracy, welcome. Great to have you as well.
Thank you, Evan.
And Santos Cruz is back. He's a, among many other things, he's a videographer, a talented performer himself. He's a Latino advocate. Great to have you back here, Santos.
Thank you.
All right, so Yolanda, the story goes back to, well, I had it in 2013, but when's the first time you really thought about doing something like this?
Well, this is, it's so funny. We started in actually 2012, 2013 was our first launch year that we started the Rock Awards. So it's been an exciting movement and a journey that has been growing every year, getting bigger and better. We're a growing company. We're learning different things how to do. And so it's been exciting. It's been an exciting journey.
I was telling Tracy and Santos in studio before the hour began that, of course, we picked Danielle Ponder and the Tomorrow People, which is,
Yeah. They're
so good, it's almost a cliche for me to use them, because if they're not national like, real soon, it's going to be ridiculous.
It's going to be ridiculous, yeah. They actually won, I believe, last year, Best Band, so that was awesome.
And you know, definitely hard to beat them, but when you look around, Yolanda, for you, what was the motivation in terms of creating something that could be a voice and a showcase for performers like that, who you look at and say, how doesn't everybody know about them, you know?
And that's the beauty about the Rock Awards. You'll be able to get exposure to so many different artists that you don't know in your everyday circle. So that's the beauty about the Rock Awards. We're able to give that platform to get that exposure to a broader audience so that people can know the Danielle Ponders, the Joy Littles, the, you know, the makeup artists and things in that nature. So it's definitely a great opportunity and a great platform for exposure. So it's just, you know, people should know about the Danielle Ponders and the Yolanda Smiles, you know, toot my own horn a little bit.
Go ahead. There's 42 categories, is that right, this year, 42?
It is 42 categories, yes, and that doesn't even include our Lifetime Achievement Award that goes out to David Gant, and our Humanitarian Award who goes out to Connie Mitchell, and our honorees this year, which is Melanie Silas, John Jitters, and also All Day Sunday.
I mean, just looking down real quick here, down the list, I can't do all 42, but there's Best Female Hip Hop, Best Male Hip Hop, R&B Female, Best Album, Best DJ, Best Latin DJ, Producer, Gospel Male, Gospel Female, Gospel Choir, Best Event of the Year, Gospel Rap, Dance Group, Dancer, Female Host, Male Host, Minority Business. I mean, I'm not even halfway through.
Poets. Don't forget the poets.
I know. The problem is I'm leaving them off. But you can jump online, and people vote where, Yolanda?
They went to, the voting process is over. It ended on February 12th. They will go to our website, and they can visit just to get, you know,
check
look at the blogs
out. Yep.
And things of that nature,
yep,
to visit our website, which is www.rocawards.com.
Rockawards.com. Let me ask you all of this question. I'll start with you, Yolanda.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're in a media culture where I think it's fair to say, all right, let's be straight about this. I think Adele was right that when she wins Album of the Year, you could see how sheepish and almost embarrassed she was looking at Beyoncé and apologizing and saying, I can't even accept this. But we are in a culture where artists of color have a harder time getting the attention that I think their talents probably merit. Fair, Yolanda?
I would say fair, and also on that, Adele, not to take away Adele and her audience and anyone that supports her music, Adele works just as hard as Beyonce. And it's just on a different level. And I think that sometimes just because we're not the biggest pop artist doesn't mean that we're not working as hard and doesn't mean that we don't deserve the award. So in that particular case, yeah, Beyonce is well known, but Adele is also a phenomenal worker and artist, and I just truly believe that, you know, she deserves it as well, you know. It's all, you know, and that just shows sometimes just because you're popular doesn't mean that you're always going to win.
Yeah, and listeners, if you're not familiar with what we're talking about, Adele won the Album of the Year for her 25 at the Grammys, beat out Beyonce's Lemonade, and continued a string of white artists winning Grammy Album of the Year, and she absolutely apologized for it. She, I mean, she said she didn't feel like she deserved it, and I think as someone who loves Adele, and my son loves Adele, my son loves Adele, loves Adele. There's no question. And, and I do too, but that album wasn't as daring as Lemonade. It wasn't as much of a statement, and she has said as much. I think it's okay to say that and then ask, how come artists of color have a harder time breaking through? And I want to ask Tracy Isaac how you feel about that. What do you think, Tracy?
Hi, Evan. Well, as a veteran of the advertising and marketing industry for 30-plus years, you know, it's sometimes difficult for the industry to understand that the people's choice is very important, because many of the audience listeners truly listen to the lyrics and they look at the work and the statements and they feel that it holds merit. Even though Solange won an award, again, that's based on the outcry, basically, of everyone saying, you know what, look at the work. And that's really what's a value in the Rock Awards. We not only take the people's choices, because this year we surpassed online votes by almost 100,000. We reached over 350,000 plus online voters, which says people are watching your work and they're willing to support you. So therefore, we have an opportunity with the Rock Awards to share that there is talent that deserves to be recognized, and it's expressed by the choice of the people.
Okay. Santo, same question. How do you feel about it?
About the whole Adele and Beyonce thing?
Well, Adele, Beyonce, but in the larger context of artists of color having a harder time being heard.
I feel like we're it's our culture, it's our different music, so where I myself may see something as art, other individuals from a different culture, they may not necessarily see it as art to them. You know what I mean? Where I grew up with my own perspective within the Latin culture, my bachata, my salsa, my merengue, you know what I mean? Other people may not necessarily see that as something that is appealing, and that's okay. But we have to come to a common understanding that art is universal. You know what I mean? The art speaks in all languages, in all forms. It is exactly that language that breaches all languages. You know what I mean? That unites us. I feel like if we had a platform like the one Yolanda has created, which is beautiful, the economical means to be able to advertise each other, I feel like that we would be in the map in a greater numbers and in greater scales. It's just that we lack the necessary means to be able to do that, because a lot of artists do get intertwined, like a lot of stories that you hear with that 9-to-7 job or 7-to-9 job, because they gotta be able to eat. You know what I mean? So their art is something that they have to, you have to literally sacrifice. And while a lot of people are sleeping, their downtime is their art. It is their music. It is their painting. It is their spoken words, poetry. For myself, I do have my job. I do work. I do like advocating for the Latin community and be a community activist as it is. When do I find my downtime? I do also.
Yeah, when do you?
When I'm driving to and from work. When I'm driving to and from WXSI. When I'm driving to and from visitations for my family, stuff like that. I am in the car, music off, even my girlfriend, Kaylin, will be next to me, and I just be reciting every spoken word poem that I've wrote, all 10 minutes of it so far, plus the new ones, be going over it and over it.
Do you record it like on a phone or something? I mean, like when it's coming to you in those settings, do you find a way to record it, or how do you do that?
I write things down. I have the iPhones, the technology, the magic of the 24, I mean, where it's just, so I just write things down. I write concepts down. I write ideas down. There's sometimes where I get an idea of something, and I literally have to stop everything that I'm doing and write it down, write the concept, write those. It might be a sentence. It might be just a word, but when it comes to spoken word, it is that one word, the right word. We all know that there's many ways of saying one particular thing, but finding the right word that I know that will impact my audience and my listeners is what's going to bring them to want to keep listening to me and want to keep sharing my albums in Facebook and Twitter and YouTube, want to keep sharing my work. And as I progress as an artist, that will get my following. You know what I mean? So it's definitely a lot of work, but if we're willing to put that work, the sky's the limit.
Well, I'm going to grab our first phone call in just a second. You're hearing from Santos Cruz there, who is a videographer, Latino advocate, and he's working with the Rock Awards, which is this Sunday. Tracy Isaac, executive producer, and Yolanda Smiles, CEO and founder of the Rock Awards, is on the line with us. And Tracy, you can get tickets where?
You can get tickets online at the Kodak, www.kodakonline, and also still visit the rockawards.com.
Rockawards.com for tickets now. And the... This is not just Tracy with her marketing background saying this. In past years, you've had 1,500 people and had to turn away people?
Yes. In the early stages, the popularity was just growing exponentially. Even with the challenges of weather and snowstorm, there was still the desire to come out and support the Rock Awards.
So you're looking around going, we're going to need a bigger boat.
Well, you know, the,
you got 1,900 seats now.
The Blue Cross Arena, you know, is not too far away, and we feel that we're going to get there one day.
Wouldn't that be amazing? All right, let me grab Kevin in Rochester on the phone first. Go ahead, Kevin.
Yes, how are you doing? I just wanted to say how much appreciate the Rock Award. Several of the artists who are with the Bronze Collective Theater Fest have been honored over the years, and many of them are in productions for the upcoming show, February 20th to the 26th. Ruben Tapp, I believe, is nominated for a Rock Award, and he's going to be directing one of the plays as well during the Bronze Collective Theater Fest by Laura Thomas. And I just think it's great that you're honoring especially theater people, because they put in a lot of time, a lot of behind-the-scenes work, and don't always get the recognition.
Yeah, there is, Kevin, we've talked about it with you on the program, about just, you know, African-American theater, theater of color, how much talent there is, even in that niche is the wrong word, that genre, right?
Oh, definitely, definitely. And, you know, one of the executive producers of the Bronze Collective Theater Fest, David Shakes, who a lot of people know from being in Jiva Productions around here, I mean, he's one of the few equity actors, if I've got that correct, who's, you know, able to, and also SAG actor, too, that's here locally. So he's put in a lot of time on the local theater scene to get to where he can be in regional productions.
Well, Kevin, thank you for the phone call. As always, it's great to hear from you. And Yolanda, to you, when you're hearing from more people like that in this community who, you know, 5 years in are thanking you for creating this, what does that mean to you, especially you go back to 2012, you had this idea, you don't know where it's going to go. What does it mean to you now?
It means a lot to me. It gives me the inspiration to keep going, because it's a very hard journey, you know, doing this, and it's so much to take on. But to know that we have people that appreciate it, and that's where our energy will focus on, and we'll continue to keep pushing it, and like I say, and keep growing and growing and getting ourselves out there in more different communities, because we... The first couple of years we did, our target market was African-American, but as we looked out into the community and looked out into the audience, we realized that our audience is very diverse, from Asian, Latin, white, black, and we felt like, you know, it doesn't matter what color or race you are, as long as you celebrate the culture, you should be involved. So that's our main focus for 2018, to get out in more communities and get our face out there so that people can get more awareness that this is available to them. And it just makes me excited and warm inside. So I hope everybody come out this Sunday.
Well, I was going to ask you how you choose just the nominees. So we'll go there in a second. But you pushed me to ask Santos a question, because before the hour began, Santos was just mentioning that, you know, the value and the importance of the Latin community feeling a part of this and feeling, mm-hmm. you know, having a chance to have their talent seen. How are you involved with that, Santos? Tell me about that.
I'm recently been getting involved with a lot of local artists, like I said, through videography, and as an artist myself, you know, and trying to find those individuals and literally hand-selected those individuals to be able to say, hey, this is the Rock Awards, and you're ready for this stage, you're ready for this bigger stage. A lot of these Latin artists, we struggle to find even an open mic that we may be able to even sing comedy, spoken words, even in our own native tongue, Spanish, you know what I mean? So it comes to the point where we're starting to see that the Rock Awards is something that we see ourselves being a part of, you know what I mean? Where we see that, hey, we love rap, we love R&B, we love, you know, hip-hop, we just sing it in a different language, or we might express that in a different way, you know what I mean? But it's still the same thing. I feel like I just go out there and I talk to them. I really just advocate. I feel like that's the word that I, if I could use to define myself will be a navigator. I advocate for those things that I know that will be, that are special, those things that I know that people could be a part of and say, you know what, I could grow. So I advocated for it really deeply. Everybody that I find that I know that has talent, I'm like, hey, Rock Awards, you need to be there, or look at these videos, look at what they're doing, and let's just work out throughout the year to be sure that we could be a force to reckon with.
Tracy, you got a big smile on your face. You want to add to that?
You know, it's interesting also that this is a unique time that with the success of things like American Idol and The Voice and what have you, Rock Awards offers us that same platform. So we offer everyone the opportunity to hone your skills and come out and participate.
All right. So before we get into how these nominees are selected, again, 42 categories. Well, how many categories were there first year, Yolanda?
Almost about 30.
Okay,
about
so,
30.
So it's grown a little bit. It's grown a little bit.
I'm so sorry.
I was just going to ask Yolanda and Tracy to just kind of give us a sense for, if you haven't been to the show, to the award ceremony, which is, again, this Sunday. Doors open at 4. It starts at 5 at the Kodak Performing Arts Center on West Ridge Road, and rockawards.com right now for tickets, which it has sold out in the past. We're just saying. Yolanda, why don't you set the scene for what the evening is like?
The evening is like a red carpet event, which pretty much, I mean, you have so many different walks of life that comes to the Rock Awards. So you have people who come in gowns, you have people who come just in jeans and a nice blazer or sweaters and just be very casual. So it's very diverse. You have your red carpet, you take your pictures with your photographer, you come into theater style, you have the Kodak Theater have a big cafeteria that we transform into like a big lounge area where we have the bar and vendors and people are there to mingle and network. So it's just a very sociable event, and it's exciting from the time that the doors open to the time that it's over. For years previous before, we had such a long program that this year we had to cut it down and not have everyone come up and do an acceptance speech. So what we did was take the top 15 categories with the most overall votes and allow them to do an acceptance speech, and the other ones we will announce and have them accept their award in the back and do an interview. This way we can keep the flow of the show going and keep the production going and just keep everybody's attention span. But it's an awesome show, like I said, from the talent that's going to be presented on the stage, from the dancing, the singing, the you know, the acting that you will see. You know, we use the whole auditorium, so you never know what part of the show might pop up next to your seat. You might be sitting there and there might be an artist that's part of the show and just have a mic in their hand and just start singing out of nowhere. So it's just an overall fun production.
Tracy, you want to add to what people are going to experience as the executive producer?
You know, also, this is an opportunity for the attendees to experience businesses, services, and products in our Exhibitors Expo. So prior to the show, you have an hour to go and visit the vendors, as well as during our intermission time. Additionally, you know, there will be some audience participation, so everyone should come camera ready and prepared, because you'll have a little spotlight. Hint. And there's an opportunity to be immortalized in our archives. But also, again, you know, there are so many families coming to support those that they've seen, you know, develop their skills and then finally, you know, get that moment on stage or get that nomination that they've seen the community embrace. So it's definitely an involved and an engaging opportunity for everyone.
A lot of energy.
Lots of energy, lots of excitement, a lot of creativity. And we've even had an opportunity to engage young people to experience what it's like to build sets and be a part of the behind-the-scenes production, because not everyone is really interested in being an artist. You know, there are many careers. You know, I'm even mentoring a young lady so that she can learn event management and production. I've done everything from the Essence Music Festival to the Super Bowl. So she sees that even something at this level, this is where it starts. And this is the opportunity to have that chance to experience it.
Well, I bet you've got them all signed up for this year. But what if in 2018 they want... What opportunities for young people to learn about that would there be going forward, Tracy?
Well, we do events all through the year in the community. So we have very many events that first start in the community. We have things such as the Bake Off Wars, where people can enter baked goods and be judged by a panel of, if you will, local celebrity judges, even to working with people like Santos and our video crew to get behind the scenes, the city landscapes, because we like to be able to use footage that represents Rochester in our work so that people really can see that we kind of have a place on the map of our own.
All right, Yolanda.
Go ahead. Just to add to Tracy, this year also something that we've never done is we're keeping the nomination process open to the community all year round, and so that our nomination committee can be able to review all the submitted work. And that's one thing that if you feel like, if you are a person out there that have talent and fit any of those categories, you can submit your work so that you can be able to be reviewed to make it to the nomination process. So it is open. It's not just, you know, your fans submitting your work, but it's also the artists submitting their work, too. So we leave it open to everyone to have that opportunity to be able to be a part of it. So this year we are going to be year-round. We also are going to be doing a lot of showcasing this year. So, we're going to be, like I said, we're going to be more face out in the community more than we ever been.
You're hearing Yolanda Smiles, CEO and founder of the Rock Awards, rocawards.com, and it's coming up on, this Sunday, the 2017 Rock Awards. So, Yolanda, when you conceived this idea 5 years ago, you had to come up with a way to create the nominees for the categories. How did you do it then, and how do you do it now?
Well, before the first 2 years, we let the people nominate, and we let the people choose. And then we realized that was a lot of people were walking away with awards that really didn't deserve them because they didn't have the work behind the people's choice. So then they pretty much so now what we have created is a nomination board that sits over 9 people with over 10 to 20 years experience in business, theater and art, music producers, community activists sit on this board, and what they do is they review the work and they pick the people who have put in the most work with the nominations from the actual community. So it's a big drawn out process that helps select the proper person to win the trophy.
How much controversy is there, Yolanda?
Oh, it's a lot. You know, some people, like I said, it's one of those love to hate type of events where people love the Rock Awards, they hate the Rock Awards, because a lot of times is when you don't understand the process, you become negative sometimes. And if you don't see the behind the scenes, and, you know, like I said, knowledge is key. And we try to be as transparent as we can to the community. But, you know, just to protect in the community, the nomination board, we try to not reveal who those people are. So they're not approaching the community by different people. So, you know, it's a secret society.
And Yolanda, you got to say this. If there's controversy, it means there's buzz, right? I mean, I'm not saying you're going for controversy, but any award show, there's always snubs or, you know, look at Adele and Beyonce, right? So there's always going to be some controversy. It comes with the territory. Tracy, what do you make of the tension, you know, about getting it right, getting the right nominees to begin with, and then hoping that you see the winners to be the people who, you know, you think ought to be winning?
Well, that's a growth process. You know, as I said, in previous years, you know, we look at things and the work, and then we identify how we can improve. And our creation of the committee, as well as responses from the public. We love to hear comments because, again, everyone gets to share their thoughts. So we improve upon those things that will help us grow. And like with this year, with a 2.5-hour show, we're able to do more and allow people to experience more.
Does 2.5 hours mean 4 hours, or is it really going to be 2.5, by the way?
Well, there's a little time before stage, and there's a little time after stage.
Yeah, no, it's a big show. There's so much packed into the Rock Awards. Santos, what do you make of any, just the whole process? Do you like the way this comes together to get the nominees, to get the winners?
I believe that everything is a work in progress, that nothing is set in stone, especially a corporation like this that's aiming to unify the community through art. But I do believe that there's things to be, you know, to be fixed, and things, there's always room for growth, you know what I mean, improvement. And by far, I feel like one of the questions that I get asked from people in the Latin community that I have to be able to answer on the spot is, either any Latin judges or in the panel of people who select who gets to be nominated, who doesn't get to go to the finals, you know what I mean? Because it's one thing for you to understand art and certain categories, but how do you pick one over the other? How do you end that bias over picking your own quote-unquote people over the Latinos are, or singers or spoken words. So that's definitely something that the Rock Awards is going to be able to do in the 2017, moving into the 2018 year, is start getting more people like myself, people that are not only known within the Latin community or know of the Latin community, but are also versatile within the African American community. You know what I mean? I'm an individual who I like to say I'm like the bridge. And there's many individuals like me, like, who understand and love, and I go out dancing with the Latin community and hang with them. But I could also go into the African American community, understand their music, understand the dance, understand the everything. You know what I mean? So by doing that, finding these individuals, which is my task, I feel like we'll be able to come up with a process in which everybody's happy and everybody's able to understand that this is about not only talent, but the amount of work that you put in throughout the whole year.
You mentioned earlier that there are times where artists have a hard time even finding an open mic to share their talent, and mm-hmm. and that you're looking for those places where people can go. And is there a place in this town where, you know, is there like a hidden gem place where you can find or have that mic or find talent that you go, wow, I can't believe I've never seen
within
that?
Within the community as a whole, just the Latin community.
Yeah,
with
yeah.
community as a whole, if you go out, you will see and you will find that there is an open mic every night in the city of Rochester. Whether it is a comic open mic, a spoken word open mic, singing open mic, there is an open mic every day. I could literally go perform comedy and practice my craft every day from Monday to Tuesday at different spots. You could go to Boulders. You could go to Spot. You could go to
Photo City
Improv. You can go mm-hmm. to Spot on Clarissa Street. You could go to all these spots that I personally go to practice and work on my craft. Something else that I've been able to piggyback on this is within the Latin community, something that we've seen grown is a lot of spoken words, a lot of comics and people, singers that want to be able to express themselves in their own way. So one of my friends, Erika de Jesus, which is also a community activist and Latino advocate, we came together and we created a group called Lingual. Tomorrow we have our second event of the year, of the first event of the year, second event in general, in which Latin spoke word artists can come, and we have our own open mic now because we've learned throughout the platform and throughout the paved way that the African community has been able to make for us. You know what I mean? We just follow what they've done, and we're like, hey, that worked out. And we're going to be able to use Lingual as a way to find those artists and bring them out. You know what I mean? So,
all right, so let's get our only break of the hour. When we come back, we're going to listen to some music because there are some nominees that we know that we can talk about. And Yolanda mentioned that the top 15 in terms of total votes will have a chance to go up and speak. We want to just talk about what some of those categories are. So what are some of the biggest categories in terms of the number of votes that were out there? I also want to ask all of our panelists about some personal stories or just success stories that when you look back at past winners, what has it meant for them? What's the goal for artists and for businesses and for the winners? You know, what could it mean for them, and what's a story or two that stands out? I'm also going to put them on the spot and ask them about, you know, who's nominated. I don't know if they want to tell us who they voted for, but who we should really check out if we've never heard before. Mm-hmm. So let's get our only break of the hour. We're talking about the 2017 Rock Awards on the other side. I'm Evan Dawson. Friday on The Next Connections, it's Unleashed in our first hour. We're talking about proposed legislation that would up the penalties for burglars who kill household pets during burglaries. We'll also talk to a woman whose dog was in the Westminster Kennel Club dog show. Then in our second hour, Second Opinion Live, and we're talking about heart health. Talk with you on Friday. Welcome back to Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. What's one story for you, Santos, for maybe a past winner or a name, an artist that you know that this has meant a lot to, that stands out?
I'm thinking out loud, and I feel like you got Uncle Trent coming in with it as one of the upcoming male comics in the city of Rochester. I've seen a lot of work, followed a lot of his work throughout the year, and even been mentored by him a little bit, and he's just amazing. He's just funny.
Uncle Trent?
Yeah, you also have a lot of spoken word artists whose names escape me for some reason. I'm so embarrassed.
That's okay. I only asked you for one.
This
is what people always do when they're on committees. You ask them for one and they give you half a dozen. No, you gave me Uncle Trent. That's okay.
I think John Emanuel is another artist. He's an R&B artist that's very good to look into as well.
Say it again.
Charles Emmanuel.
Charles Emmanuel from Yolanda.
Tracy, there was a young lady by the name of Rocky B. She was our red carpet hostess, and she was actually working the night that she won. So she's a hardworking young lady, and after her experience of winning, the doors just open, and she says, now I really understand my passion.
All right, so there's some examples. And Yolanda, I know you only got a few minutes left, so if you don't mind, I'm going to ask you a little bit about the work, some of the work that you do in comedy. Is that all right with you?
That's cool.
Because, you know, there's, again, we're talking about the kind of talent that is in our community that you might not be aware of that the Rock Awards showcases. And the founder and CEO of the Rock Awards is Yolanda Smiles, who is, you know, he's been in comedy
comedian.
In upstate New York. So what, to you, Yolanda, how do you create your comedy? Every comedian has a different approach. Some will take their personal experiences in their lives. Some look at politics. Some look at the sort of the social fabric. What's your material? How do you create?
Well, my material is I'm a blue comic, but I'm also a professional comic, so I can pretty much perform for any demographic. But I use life as my comedy. I use my children. I use my past. I use past relationships, politics. So I'm an overall comedian that can pretty much do jokes on any topic. But my most style that I'm known for is the blue comedy, more relationship-in-your-face adult comedy.
I know you were the winner of Rochester's Apollo Showcase. Who to you is funny? Who, when you really want to see someone who you know will make you laugh every time, who's funny to you?
His name is so funny. He is one of the funny comedians. That his name is Smokey Suarez, and he is hilarious. He's staged out of New York, and he's very awesome to me. Every time I hear him, he's funny.
So before I let you go then, tell me, you know, let's kind of bring it back together. I asked you at the top of the hour here, when you created the Rock Awards, you know, you wanted a chance for artists, performers of all different backgrounds and all different genres to get a chance to be seen and heard with the Rock Awards. For you in comedy, what's the challenge in breaking through in comedy? How tough is it?
It's tough because I'm a woman and it's a male-dominant field. So pretty much I have to be on top of my game three times more than a guy has to be. So being more vocal, my stage presence have to be at its best. I have to make sure that I'm delivering everything, like I said, be able to deliver to all demographics. So because there's a lot of comics that are close to one audience, you know. But me, I have to be very diverse, and that's one thing I learned. I'm able to do many audiences, and I'm great at it. And I have a smile that warm your insides up when you see me.
I can attest to that. Yolanda, I'll let you go with one last question here. What are you most excited for Sunday?
I'm most excited about seeing my team actually work. And I'm just excited about the 5 years, the growth that this event has grown, this business have grown, and just seeing all the people come out. So I'm just excited to see our community come out together and be strong and move forward and keep growing together. So that I'm really excited about that.
Yolanda Smiles, CEO and founder of the Rock Awards. Have fun Sunday. Congratulations on that. Thanks for taking
the
time.
You. Oh, and don't forget, we're going to have national recording artist John B. Coming as well. So I'm going to leave you guys with that. So make sure y'all go get your tickets. Thank you.
You got it. Rockawards.com. That's Yolanda Smiles. Tracy Isaac, executive producer, is in studio with me. Santos Cruz, who's a Latino advocate, a spoken word artist, a videographer, and The Bridge. That's another title that you get, The Bridge Between Communities.
Yes.
So that's what we're going to give you, too.
The Bridge.
They're with us here for the rest of the hour. She just mentioned, Yolanda just mentioned some of the other things that kind of stand out to her. What haven't we hit yet, Tracy, that is top of mind and you're excited for Sunday?
Well, actually, also, too, we are intergenerational. You know, we have a category of special honorees of people who have been involved in the community. And sometimes we overlook the business person or the social activist or community activist, as well as some of our legends. You know, we are honoring Miss Constance M. Mitchell, who has a legacy of community activism and across the country, starting from the civil rights movement. We also have David F. Gantt, whose name can be seen on the old North Street Senator, which is now the David F. Gantt Senator, as well as Melanie Silas. So we have people that have been doing work on the corporate side and politics, but for the people. So again, this is a people's choice of folks that we should lift up. So their children, as well as our community, can now see what came before us.
And Assemblyman Gant is someone, of course, this community has known for so many years.
Yes.
How do you make your determinations on who you want to honor?
Well, again, you know, we have a committee, and again, we look at all of the work that's being done, and there are many people behind the scenes who support us in many ways. So, you know, again, the opportunity to see someone's work up close and say thank you has to be said sometimes in a moment like this. It's not about a vote, but it's looking at their track record. And not only do we step outside of the creative arts area, we look into every area of service and outreach.
Okay. Santos, what's on the list of, you know, events coming up on Sunday, starting at 5 with the show, but what parts of the show are you most excited about?
I'm only, to be honest with you, I heard a little bit of something about the beginning of the show that excites me. I don't know if I should speak about it. I don't want to throw it off.
Well, you have to give us something now. You can't just say that.
It shows the diversity and the cultural inclusion of the Rock Awards. I'm extremely happy about this piece. As soon as I heard about it, I was like, I'm all the way in. You know what I mean?
It's a special opening?
Yeah, a special opening to the Rock Awards that you really don't want to miss. If you're one of those individuals who makes it late to places, you don't want to be late, because I feel like the beginning of how it starts, it's just going to be impactful. And it's going to send the message of where the Rock Awards is heading. And not only that, where our community currently is and the state of mind of the people that come to the Rock Awards, which is that of unity.
Is there a video involved?
Well, I'll tell you what, I'll give you a little hint.
All right,
let's say
on,
mixed media.
Mixed
so you're
going
to see a lot of different things happen.
How much work went into the creation of that open?
Well, a lot, because, again, you know, it's intergenerational. So we're trying to allow every age and every walk of life to be represented. And then also dreams. So sometimes dreams do become reality.
So let's talk a little bit about then what you think the possible results of these kinds of awards are. The Rock Awards now is in, you know, in 2017, you're going to have a big crowd. You've had more than 1,000 people coming. You've had hundreds of thousands of votes. So that means people are engaged with this. But Tracy, what do you want this to do for the careers of some of the winners? What's realistic?
What's realistic is inspiration and motivation, because you're going to see people who either have been working for a very long time that have never been recognized and never taken the stage the way they would like to. So we're taking them to a level of production that they can expect, you know, in the future, as well as people like John B., who is a national recording artist, and his career started out just as a songwriter. And it was that one song that finally somebody heard and says, you know what, that's a great song. So people like John B. is an inspiration to show local people, listen, just keep at it, work at it hard, do your best, put it out there, and somebody is bound to hear you, see you, and then maybe he'll be discovered, you know, like he did with Babyface.
And then on the business side, because you have 42 different categories, you got a lot of honorees there, are you hoping that it gives more attention to the kinds of businesses that stand out as community gems that, again, people may not be, you know, going to as often?
Yes, we do. And this is an opportunity for small businesses to learn how to market. You can market yourself in many ways. This is a very cost-effective event. So if you had a vendor's booth, which are still available, to showcase your business services or any type of skills that you have in products, as well as for existing businesses to draw more traffic. You know, again, some businesses don't feel they really have a budget to market the way other larger companies do with radio and television. This is one of the most cost-effective, because in one day you'll have thousands of people who can walk past your table and be exposed. And then word of mouth is a wonderful thing. Again, to have over 300,000 votes online means somebody's paying attention. So not only will you have the physical traffic of the thousands of attendees, but also when people can go online with social media and say, hey, I just had a taste of this great new caterer, or I heard a great new song and I picked up that guy's CD at his vending table. So here's an opportunity to learn to market yourself.
300,000 votes online. I mean, even if you want to stuff the ballot box for your favorite band, you can't get that many votes. That's a lot of people.
It is, and we actually have an independent company, so we are using a lot of high technology to make sure that there's one vote, so you can't vote more than once.
Yeah, that's pretty remarkable. Santos, what's realistic for artists that comes out of this, do you think?
I feel like the key, I've been thinking about the word, and this is friendly competition. I feel like that's what the Rock Awards does. I mean, it creates an environment in which people and artists will always be striving to become better year after year. If I'm just working at something and I feel content about my work, I mean, just my true artist, my true potential may never come out. But if I see another individual, a spoken word, or any artist, a singer, come out with a new track, a new hit, and I see how great they did with that, I want to be able to top that. Again, friendly competition, because we will push each other to the top. And I feel like through that friendly competition, we will push each other to the top. We will push artists of the city of Rochester to the top, you know, and at the same time be able to create pride in ourselves. And I feel like that's the number one thing that we should be able to get from this, is being able to be proudful of our work and our determination, being proud that we put X amount of work into this piece, and now it's being honored in a platform for all to see, a platform for all to admire what you think. I believe that art is that of what we can communicate with simple words. So for individuals to be able to put their work in that station and everybody clapping at them and even saying, great job. And not only that, you never know who's watching.
Well, here's an email from a listener named Peter who just wanted to comment on open mic diversity. And I think Santos can respond to this. Peter writes, Evan, I'm a white poet who used to go to a number of open mics around town. And I have to say, the most inclusive, accepting, and constructive audiences I have found are those when I was the minority. It was fantastic and exceptionally instructive to how I express my art today. So my thanks. That's from Peter. What do you think, Santos?
I feel like that's wonderful. And people, like, I've seen individuals like Peter, you know, I mean, that come to those open mics and they are the minority in that particular group. It forces that individual, Peter, if he's listening, it might force you to step outside your comfort zone and outside of your form of thinking to hear somebody else's perspective. You know what I mean? When somebody else is grabbing the mic from a different point of view, from a different world, even though you might live in the same area code, you still live in a different world. You know what I mean? You might have experienced life slightly differently. When it comes to African-Americans or Latinos within the city, we all have a story to tell. For so individuals, I can be able to come in and be culturally acceptable and be able to sit there and listen to our voice. And we have to say, I feel like it's beautiful, and I thank him for being the bridge and taking the initiative to step outside his comfort zone and share culture.
Go ahead, Trish.
Evan, I'd just like to add also, too, in contrast, there's a certain focus. So when you have an audience where you're the majority gets a chance to look at you and listen and hear something different. Oh. And in the opposite, the same thing happens. So there is inclusion opportunities where we can learn, and this is a great platform to do that.
I also have an email from a listener who just wanted to know, who said, just tuning in, this sounds amazing. Just a question about the Rock Awards, though. Are local indigenous populations involved? Haudenosaunee, you know, he's talking about just native populations here, which often are underrepresented just about everywhere, media, all kinds of things here. Santos, is that part of the goal of the future, to be inclusive?
Native population.
To native, Indian.
Native Indian.
American Indian, yeah.
Okay. Like I said, we're all inclusion. I must be honest. It's one of those things that I've never heard. I've never seen a native spoken word artist or singer or whatever, or artist. I'm 100% sure they have to exist. You know what I mean? But I've never seen one. If they know of a place, an open mic or a place where they do gather to share their art, let me know, let you know for the information, because I would love to attend. I would love to go out there and see what they're all about. And if their art is there, come on right in. You know what I mean? Doors are widely open. The Rock Awards are widely open for anybody who wants to share the art with us and with the Rochester community.
All right, I've got a couple of sound clips that we can listen to, nominees for Best Band, which, by the way, Tracy, is there any single category that's the biggest or the last one or based on votes? Because I know, again, 42 categories, but the top 15 categories based on total raw votes the winners have a chance to go up, give an acceptance speech. What are some of those categories?
Well, there are quite a few, and it's generally always in the performance category.
Yeah.
You know, best singer, best band, DJ is even very, very popular. But we actually will use the numbers to let you know how high the votes have raised. So therefore, people will know what people responded to. And we'll also encourage others that if you felt like you could have gotten more votes, then get on the line next year.
Got it. And so listen to some of the nominees for Best Band. Let's listen to, first of all, we've got Carlton Wilcox, who we've got a clip of a cover of Happy. Let's listen.
It makes him crazy when I'm trying.
Great voice, by the way, reminds me of a great singer. One of my favorite voices of all time is Arnold McCuller, and that kind of reminds me of that. That's a great voice. So
he
there's one.
Did a great job.
Live version of that. So Carlton Wilcox is one of the nominees for Best Band. We mentioned it, but let's listen to a little bit more. Daniel Ponder, their album is amazing. It's just amazing. Let's listen to a little bit of Three Word Revolution. I mean, get thee to a Daniel Ponder show as soon as you can. And if Danielle's listening, she's going to say, Evan, get thee to a Daniel Ponder show. I need to get out and see them live. The music is so good. And we've talked about it with them on this program before. You know, Danielle is this amazing person who works in the legal system, met her brother who's been through so much with incarceration. She's written about that. Her music comes with a real social purpose. Santos, is that more appealing to you as an artist when music comes with a social purpose? I mean, not everybody does, and I understand that, but boy, hers comes with this amazing message.
From my point of view, from my perspective, I would like to speak that I love music that has a message to it. I feel like that's what music is for. It's to spread a message that can't be said with simple talking, you know what I mean? And a song that speaks about any social inequality, political view, from the artist's point of view, it speaks to me, you know what I mean? It speaks to me, not only to me, but to the masses, you know what I mean? So people could understand the triumphs or difficulties of any given culture, any time of day, or any type of era, you know? So I feel like I love music with a meaning.
And when you mentioned earlier, when you'll be driving, and that's when you've got time for your art.
Yeah.
So, you know, is most of your art focused on, you know, sort of how you're seeing the world? Is it more personal to you?
I would say that as an upcoming millennial artist, most of my...
You don't have to admit that you're a millennial. Some people think that's a pejorative. It's
no,
okay.
I don't
think it's a pejorative. Like, I think it's good. Yeah, but go ahead.
I don't know what that word means, pejorative. I can't even pronounce it. But
some people think it's a bad thing. Like,
no,
it's,
I'm 100%
like we're calling
proud.
You a name. No,
I'm
that's
100%
good.
Proud of that. I know who I am and what I am. So I have no, I would call myself that. I don't, so it's like calling myself Latino, you know what I mean? That's what I am.
It's who you are. Yeah, absolutely.
I feel like we have a certain perspective and myself, like, from a Latin point of view, my history, my where I come from. As a Latino coming to the United States, I lose a lot of that. I lose a lot of my self-identity. How am I supposed to know where I go in the future when I don't know where my past has been? School systems in the United States as a whole, very rarely if they don't teach Latino history, you know what I mean? So I literally had to take time on myself and go out there and find a book about Puerto Rico, Dominican Republicana, Venezuela, Uruguay, and find how did I get to be here? Why is Santos Cruz Santos Cruz? So my spoken words speak about the time of pre-Columbian era. It speaks about the time of the Spaniards, conquistadors. It speaks about the time of the Cuban Missile Crisis when Cuba and Puerto Rico were fighting for their independence from Spain, and the United States came and took over of Puerto Rico. It talks about how we were treated from the United States and how they came to Puerto Rico and how they treated the people of Puerto Rico. It talks about how a Latino can come to the United States and have, like many other immigrants, have the difficulties of speaking a different language or being frowned upon because you can't pronounce certain words or you can't necessarily talk the language, or you're told that you're not exactly intelligent because you can't pronounce, you don't sound intelligent when you speak the foreign language. I have an original tongue, and a lot of us, most like the Italians and the Irish and the Germans back in the day, you may feel unease for speaking that language. Just like the Italians were told, they dropped some vowels and were told never to speak Italian ever again. I feel like if you didn't like that being done to you, then don't do it to us. And that's my stance. And more so, my spoken word just goes up, talks about that, you know.
Can I just be honest with you, Santos? The last time we talked here, when you were on this program, this is the second time he's been on this program.
Yes.
You know, you told us the story of growing up feeling that pressure almost to, if by third grade, if you're not, you know, capable of speaking English pretty fluently, all of a sudden you start to get behind.
Yes.
And then the older you get, even if you can speak English, but you speak with an accent, the way people judge you right away. Mm-hmm. I've never forgotten your story. And it makes me think, every time I hear about your art and your process and what's driving you, I admire it. I think it's so thoughtful. And I really have to remind myself not to judge if someone has an accent, if someone is stumbling over a word. Mm-hmm. This may not be their first language. It may not be their second language. Who knows? But you're just such a great reminder to me about that. And I find that so moving. So
I just
wanted to say that. And I could talk about your art all day, but we're almost out of time. So what we're going to do is this. In a minute, we're going to close. We mentioned some of the nominees for Best Band in the Rock Awards. And you're going to hear Shine to close the hour. There's also the Suburban Plaza, Subsoil. So there's a lot of local bands that you might not have ever heard of who are going to be there. And we're also going to be telling you that When Here and Now starts at 2 o'clock, we're joining live coverage of the President's News Conference, which is already in progress. I believe he is announcing his new pick for Labor Secretary. I think that's what it's about, but you're going to hear it live right off the top at 2 o'clock. Tracy, one more time. People want to go to the Rock Awards on Sunday. Doors open at 4. The event starts at 5. Where and how do they get tickets?
It's the Kodak Theater of Performing Arts at 200 West Ridge Road. You can go online to www.kodak as well as www.rocawards.com.
Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
Thanks for telling us all about this. And again, they've got 1,900 seats, but they've had situations in the past where they've had to turn away hundreds of people, which is awkward. So don't do that. Don't be one of those people who gets turned away. You get tickets in advance if you want to go on Sunday. Enjoy the day. That's Tracy Isaac, executive producer. Santos Cruz, great talking to you as always, Santos. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right, rockawards.com. This is Shine, one of the nominees for Best Band at the 2017 Rock Awards. I'm Evan Dawson. Rob Braden's the engineer. Megan Mack is the producer. Have a lovely afternoon. We will catch up with you on Friday on Member Supported Public Radio.